Grantana Shrimad Bhagavatam Jai. So we've been speaking the last few days about the glories of Shrimad Bhagavatam. Now, our first day, we spoke something about the position of Srimad Bhagavatam in relationship with other Vedic literatures. And how Srimad Bhagavatam is Puranam Amalam, the spotless Purana, the topmost of all Vedic literatures, Grantharaj. Then on our second day, we spoke something about the science of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And what is the difference between reading and hearing? And how we can't approach the Bhagavatam directly because the Bhagavatam is Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada repeatedly stated that even with his own books, you have to hear them from a person. Then yesterday we spoke something about different speakers of the Bhagavatam. And something about the science known as Sabda Brahma. And how there are different divisions of that transcendental sound. This is mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Sabda Brahma Sudurbodham Panindriya Manomayam Anantaparam Gambhiram Durvighayam Samudravat. The Sabda Brahma is very difficult to understand. And it pranindriya manomayam, it manifests in different levels within the prana, life airs. It manifests within the life airs, within the senses and the mind. And this Vedic sound, it's very, very deep and unfathomable, just like the ocean. So then we spoke about four different divisions of this Sabda Brahma. The first is known as Vaikanas, which means something which is externally manifested in the form of speech. And higher than that is, which is known as Madhyama, or medium. Better than that Madhyama sabda is Para sabda, or superior sound. And the best is known as Pashyanti.
of which it is easy for Pashyam.
So our acharyas have described that only on the platform of Pashanti do Nam and Nami become Abhina, or non-different. Non-different, Abhina. And that person who's on that platform of Pashyanti, when they speak, the sound coming from their mouth is called Vaikuntha Vayu, or the air from the spiritual world. And Prabhuji yesterday asked some question about the difference between hearing from a tape and hearing from a person. Srila Prabhupada said in one lecture, we should not hear from a gramophone, we should hear from a person. He also similarly said we should not hear from the telephone, but we should hear from a person. What's the difference? Well, very simple point. These mechanical sounds that we hear from a tape recorder, an MP3 player, from a telephone, they're very clever imitations of the original sound. And they can trick our sense of hearing. You can play a recording of someone in the next room and you might think they're there. But there's no person there. There's just a machine. A machine, through some digital means they've manufactured that it can imitate very, very closely the external material sound of something. With these machines, they're able to imitate the sound, but they haven't yet made a machine which can imitate someone's heart. And Krishna, he comes running to where the Bhagavatam is being spoken. Does that mean that Krishna goes running everywhere where there's a recording going on of some Bhagavatam lecture? Krishna is not fooled by that mechanical imitation. Krishna is known as Bhavagrahi Janardhan. He wants the mood, the feeling in the heart. And you can't capture that with a machine. There's no Vaikuntha Vayu coming out from a machine. My Guru Maharaj, he spoke about this point about how we have to hear from a person, a living person. Sometimes, when you have a big society, sometimes there's some controversy. That's natural whenever you have a lot of people together. So some people, they became upset that he was saying that you have to hear from a person. With all respect, sometimes it's a little convenient for temple managers, they just say, anyway, even if your guru is not bona fide, it's okay, just take shelter of Prabhupada.
Alright. It was written that the Ram was the Lord of the Ram, and that
And you can associate with Prabhupada in his books and Prabhupada in his tapes. And Prabhupada said, I'm none different from my books. Prabhupada's also none different from his tapes. So, when some devotees told my Guru Maharaj this, he said, so, ask the book a question. This is always the system. We always say Narad Muni is there in the books, Lord Brahma is there in the books, Jiva Goswami is there in the books, and you can associate with them. And if someone is a Premi Bhakta, like Jiva Goswami, they may even see the pastimes of Krishna in that book. And that book might come alive and speak to you. But we've never heard of any of our acharyas simply taking shelter of a book. We need to take shelter of a person. So we should pray to Srila Prabhupada to send us someone. Some devotees, they became a little unhappy with this. There was some little controversy. It's actually not a controversy. Srila Prabhupada says it many, many times throughout his literatures. One devotee once said that Srila Prabhupada, he gave initiation, Gayatri Mantra, through recording. Our Guru Maharaj said, yes, Prabhupada can do that. He's such an exalted personality. If he decides he accepts someone, he can give that mantra through a recording if he wants. And then he commented that in Sajjana Toshini magazine, Thakur Bhaktivinoda defines an upasampradaya as a group who takes an extraordinary activity of a Mahajan and they make it a standard. For example, there's one great acharya in South India whose name was Tirumangai Alwar. Tirumangai Alwar. And Jiva Goswami gives him as an example in Bhakti Sandarbha. Tirumangai Alwar was a great devotee. And he built the temple of Lord Ranganath. There was a problem. People didn't want to give donations. So Tirumangai Alwar put together a gang of dacoits and they went out and they robbed people. And they built the temple. And then later on when the dacoits, they said, where's our money?
Hmm?
He told them, well, do you see this island over here in the middle of the Kaveri River? I hid it there on the island. So I've arranged for a nice boat and can all go across to that island. Actually, what Tirumangayal, where I had arranged, was that a boat that would sink when it was halfway across the river, and all those dacoits drowned. He's a great personality. But if we decide, we also want to build a very big temple, Netpropetra, so we'll get some gundas, some robbers, and we'll go out and rob everyone. We can't imitate them. Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jaivadharma, he says that a great personality, an acharya, has two categories of activities. So called tatkalika and sarvakalika. Tatkalika means some occasional things they may do for some special reason. Such as engaging robbers to take people's money to build a temple. Or giving a mantra by cassette tape. But sarvakalika means those principles which are always correct. These are nitya kriyas, or eternal principles. One such nitya kriya is that we should chant Hare Krishna. Another is that we should hear Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee. So, then, yesterday in this way we were speaking about different qualifications of different speakers. And today we'd like to raise another question. This is a little bit of an elevated topic. So far the last few days we've been speaking about kindergarten things. Now we want to go to college. But now is the time in our society we should start hearing some little higher things. Srila Prabhupada instructed my revered spiritual master that he should preach to the devotees. And my Guru Maharaj would become very, very upset if he, whenever he heard someone criticizing it, ISKCON, that's for neophytes. He said, no, Srila Prabhupada Society is the best. And we have everything here in this society. It's true, we're preaching to many new people and they're coming. But we should also have something for older, more mature devotees. For that reason, my Guru Maharaj told us that we should work to help uphold the prestige of Prabhupada's society.
По этой причине мы будем выбирать работу, чтобы поддержать престиж общества Шри-Прабхупады.
And he said the best way to do that is to have nice Krishna Katha, nice Vaishnava dealings. And for that reason, we started our Krishna Kathamrita magazine and our Krishna Kathamrita Bindu magazine. So we have a little bit of a postgraduate question today. What is the connection between Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? If you study the writings of mundane historians, they commonly point out that before the time of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Srimad Bhagavatam was not very prominent. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur once commented on this. He said there were many who had read the Srimad Bhagavatam before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came into this world. However, the real purport, an actual object of the Srimad Bhagavatam, was not understandable to them. That real purport, an actual object of the Bhagavatam, is only understandable to those who have read it after reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The same point was made by Srila Thakur Bhaktivinod. He said that he had read Srimad Bhagavatam, but it didn't really strike him as such an important book. Until he read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then after reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, it made sense to him. So there's some connection between the Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And therefore, for that reason, Srila Damodara Goswami is instructed, if you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, there's a certain way you have to go. If you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, two things are required. This has a very deep purport to it. You have to approach a devotee. And you have to take one pointed shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What is the necessity of taking shelter of a devotee? Because this is how the Bhagavatam is understood. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes Vistani Bhagavata Namasmanyatra the Bhagavata Arasmanyatra Vistani Bhagavata Namasmanyatra. Bhagavat, Duistani Bhagavat, the Nama, Suni Matra, it has two meanings. There's the Grantha Bhagavat, the book Bhagavat, and the devotee Bhagavat. So Premamoyi Bhagavata, Krishna Shriyanga, the Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Krishna Prem. How can we understand it? The Srimad Bhagavatam is full of Krishna Bhakti Ras.
Krishna Bhakti Rasa Swami Sri Madhava Sri Rasa Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama
Krishna Bhakti Rasa Swaroop Sri Bhagavat. This Srimad Bhagavatam is composed out of Krishna Bhakti Rasa. Tate Veda Shastra Haite Parama Mahata, therefore, it's the topmost of all Vedic literatures. So how do we understand it? You have to drink it. Nigama kolpataro galitam phalam sukamukara mitradrava samyutam pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. Because the Srimad Bhagavatam is a fully ripened fruit. It's a wonderful glass of juice. There's no skin, no seed, just very nice juice. And it's become even more sweet. Shukamukad amrita drava samyutam, because it's been tasted by the parrot-like Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, pibata bhagavatam rasamalayam. You should all drink Srimad Bhagavatam. Muhuroho rasika bhuvi bhavuka. We're calling. Come, come. All rasik, all bhavu persons, you come hear Srimad Bhagavatam. So yesterday we were speaking, you can't understand this literature from the mouth of someone who's not a qualified person. Devananda Pandit was famous throughout Navadvipa as a great speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu once commented that Devananda Pandit had been teaching Srimad Bhagavatam for many, many lives. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said he hasn't understood one word of it. How is that? Devananda Pandit was a devotee. Devotee of Krishna. He's a Sanskrit scholar. He was reading and speaking on the Bhagavatam every day. But he didn't understand Bhagavatam. Once Srivas Thakur, he heard, oh, Devananda Pandit speaking Bhagavatam, I want to go. I want to hear. The Srimad Bhagavatam, Prema Mai Bhagavata, Krishna Rishyanga, is simply made out of Krishna Prem. When he heard the Bhagavatam, suddenly Srivas Thakur became ecstatic and fell on the ground unconscious.
Mm-hmm.
The students who were there, they became disturbed when they saw that. Hey, get up! What are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
You're disturbing the class.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm making some notes right now. What are you doing? And Srivas Thakur was ecstatic. He couldn't reply to them. So they picked him up and they dragged him out and threw him in the street. And Devananda Pandit, who was watching, didn't do anything. He didn't stop them. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became furious with him. You don't know Srimad Bhagavatam. Because you're not relishing Srimad Bhagavatam. Srila Prabhupada said we have to come to the point of relishing. He says, when you come to the point of ruchi, Vasudev Katha ruchi, that's the beginning of our perfection. Prabhupada said, at the present moment, there's no ruchi, no taste. There are so many exalted persons, but they have no taste. They've lost all taste. Prabhupada said the preachers could not preach properly to create taste in the people in general. He said it's not the fault of the people. It's the fault of the so-called preachers. We have to create taste. So we have to also relish. If you don't relish Srimad Bhagavatam, you can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Rupa Goswami said in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Rasikai saha shi bhagavatarto svadaha, that we should hear the Bhagavatam from rasik Vaishnavas. They're nirag vaktas, they're speakers who have a taste, they're speakers without material desires. The Sarag Vaktas, they have material desires and they can't distinguish between what's the most important thing to speak on and what's not. You can't understand Srimad Bhagavatam from them. So this Srimad Bhagavatam, Muhuroho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka, this is meant for Rasik and Bhavuk devotees. It's not meant for everyone. Then why do we distribute it? This is a very good question. Well, I hope we get to this point, we'll explain this in a few minutes. The essence of the Srimad Bhagavatam is that the listeners should relish it. Otherwise you can't understand it. Once the Devatas, they heard, well, maybe they read in the newspaper on the internet or something that the Srimad Bhagavatam was being recited by Shukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Parikshit. So all the demigods, they went there. And they said, excuse me, Sukadeva Goswami, we'd like to propose a trade. We'd like some of this Bhagavatamrita, this nectar, Srimad Bhagavatam. You're speaking this to Maharaj Parikshit because he's going to leave his body. So if you give us some of that Bhagavatamrita, we'll give you some Devamrita, some nectar of the demigods. And if Maharaj Parikshit takes his Devamrita, he'll live for hundreds and he'll live for millions of years. Sukadev Goswami told them, get out. Bogus people. Ridiculous offer. How can this Devamrit ever be compared to the Bhagavatam? The nature of this Bhagavatamrit is that someone who takes it, then shoka moha dayapaha, they have no more fear, anxiety, or illusion. They'll never take birth again. Will your Devamrit do that? The demigod said, well, no. So, get out. So, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is about relishing. And there's a connection between Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jau Bhagavata Pada Vaishnava Rastani Ekanta Shayakori Chaitanya Charani. That if you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, two things are required. You have to hear from the Bhakta Bhagavat. And you have to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because this is Premamayi Bhagavat. This book is giving Krishna Prem. So unless you have Krishna Prem, how can you understand this book? That's one meaning for this. If we want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam and the connection between this book and Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, we should understand the purpose of each of them. The Chaitanya Charitamrita describes the purpose for which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. Puritranaya sadunam vinashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavami yuge yuge. This verse is quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita. To deliver the devotees, to kill the demons, to establish the principles of religion. And Kaviraj Goswami comments on these verses. Evam cha jai shri krishna prakasya kara sura sanhara anusanga paya hare krishna hare krishna krishna hare 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 ram hare ram ehim atta chaitanya krishna purna bhagavan Hare Krishna, sadhanam, vinashaya chaduskritam, dharma samstarpanate. These are the reasons for Krishna's appearance. Excuse me. Pratanaya sadhanam is a primary reason for Krishna's appearance. And vinashaya chaduskritam is a secondary thing. Killing the demons is secondary. So similarly, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's purpose to come here was not to spread the Hare Krishna mantra. That was one of his purposes. But that was an incidental purpose. Kaviraj Goswami describes. Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the original Supreme Lord, comes, all the other avatars come with him. So Krishna doesn't kill the demons. The Vishnu avatars are inside of his body. They kill the demons. Krishna doesn't have to go to the office and punch the time clock and go to work. He leaves that for his Vishnu expansions. And Krishna says in a similar way, the Dharma Pravartana Hoya Amsa Hoite. My Vishnu expansions, they can give the Yuga Dharma, no problem. But only I can give Braj Prem. So it was for this purpose that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to this world. It's described again in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Premurasa nirayasa kori leyasa ka Radamarva bhakti loke kori kutra Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came because he had two desires. An internal desire and an external desire. His external desire was to give Raghunuga Bhakti to the whole world. That was his external desire. And his internal desire was to taste Krishna Bhakti Ras. Nija Buddha, karya toma prema shvadan. The secret reason why you came is because you want to taste this love of God. Ansange prema moya koile tu vivan, to give this love of God to everyone else, that was a secondary thing. We should understand the purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because Krishna wasn't satisfied with all the love that people are offering following so many rules and regulations. Krishna wanted to teach them what is the nature of the love of Braj. So he chastised Devananda Pandit. He said, you haven't understood Srimad Bhagavatam. When the Lord comes, there's also some scriptures at that time which help people to understand the Lord. When Matsya Avatar came, he saved the four Vedas. And people could understand something about him from those literatures. So when Krishna personally comes to taste the mood of Srimati Radharani, what literature is going to come with him? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Devananda Pandit that literature is Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is part of Krishna's body. Prema Moyi Bhagavat, it's full of Krishna prema. Tahate Kahena Jata Gopya Krishna Ranga. And it describes all Krishna's most confidential pastimes. Therefore we said on the first day, it's different than the other Vedic literatures. And Srila Vyasadeva, who compiled all those Vedic literatures, when he finished, he wasn't happy, he wasn't satisfied. Shastra Purana Kaiye Veda Vyas, he compiled all these Vedic literatures, but Tatapi Chittara Nahi Payina Prakash, he didn't feel satisfied. But it's soon. Jakone means but. Just as soon as Sri Bhagavata Jivaya Spurila, as soon as the Bhagavatam appeared on his tongue, then Tatakshani Chitta Britti Prasanohaya, he became very, very happy. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, people shouldn't waste their time reading Manu Sanghita and all these other literatures in Kali Yuga. sincerely, suna akapate, don't be a duplicitous person. Listen, with no kapatya, no cheating. Mahaprabhu said when people read all these other Vedic literatures, they just become confused. And he told him, this Srimad Bhagavatam is a direct form of Krishna Bhakti Ras. And you don't have to study the Rig Yajna and Atharva Veda and the Vedanta Sutra and the Mana Sanghita and all these very difficult literatures. Iha Bhuje, Jehoi, Krishna Priya Patra. Someone, if they simply understand this one book, Srimad Bhagavatam, then Krishna becomes very pleased with them. The words that Vrindavan Das Thakur uses is Krishna Priya Patra. They became a pot of Krishna's mercy. Or more literally, a pot of Krishna's love. So, Krishna saw that Kali Yuga is a very difficult time. I came before and I gave Bhagavad Gita. I told everybody the highest thing. Sarva dharman prachaga mamikam sharanam braja. I told them this thing, but the problem was, it was all theoretical. And nobody could understand. So I had to personally come and teach by my example. And a book is required to go along with that. That book which will help us to understand Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimad Bhagavatam. Just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahavadanyaya avatar, so greatly merciful, so also Srimad Bhagavatam is very, very merciful. Vrindavan Das Thakur describes wherever you keep the Srimad Bhagavatam, in whatever house, kona amangala nahi, there can't be any inauspiciousness. But you shouldn't just keep the Srimad Bhagavatam there. Bhagavata pujile. You should worship Srimad Bhagavatam. By worshipping Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is worshipped. Bhagavata Patan Shravan Bhakti Moy. And if someone reads and hears Srimad Bhagavatam, that person gets Krishna Bhakti. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in his commentary in this verse in Chaitanya Bhagavat, he quotes the Skanda Purana. And in these verses from Skanda Purana, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna. Yatra yatra bhavaddi prashastram bhagavatam kalo tatra tatra harir yati tridasai sahanarada tatra sarvani tirthani nadi nadasaram sicha yatra bhagavata shastram tishtate muni sattama tatra sarvani tirthani sarve yagya sudakshinaha yatra bhagavata shastram pujitam tishtate grihe. He's saying that wherever in Kali Yuga Srimad Bhagavatam is present, Lord Hari, Krishna, is also present. Wherever that Srimad Bhagavatam is present, Krishna is also present along with the 13 major demigods. Wherever the Bhagavatam is present, all the sacred places are there. All the sacred rivers are there. All the sacred ponds are there. And that place where the Bhagavatam is worshipped, all sacrifices are performed, all sacred places are there. My revered spiritual master used to say, if you don't do any other sadhana, if you just hear Srimad Bhagavatam every day, we'll come back to that point. What is the mercy of the Bhagavatam? Satya, se ahoy dekase mata. Shridhani Mahaprabhu said this, satya, satya. Again and again I tell you, this is the truth. This is the truth. But satya has another meaning also. It means I swear. I take a vow. What is that vow? Nitya puja parishuni chahi Bhagavat. That anyone who regularly hears from the Granta Bhagavat, you'll become a Bhakta Bhagavat. There's a connection between Sri Sri Gaur Nityananda Prabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavata rasa nityananda murti manta sihasani ke hasya Bhagavata rasa nityananda murti manta. Lord Nityananda Prabhu, he's none different from Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Nityananda Prabhu, he's the embodiment of the rasa of Srimad Bhagavatam. And Vrindavan Das Thakur, he quotes the words of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yami say Nityananda Vedanai. Yami say Nityananda Vedanai. There is no difference between myself and Lord Nityananda. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sri Nityananda Prabhu, they are the embodiment of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Vrindavan Das Thakur's, the instructions of Srupa Damodar Goswami have two meanings. Jau Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavira Stani Ekanta Ashrayakara Chaitanya Charane. One meaning is that we have to approach the Bhakta Bhagavat to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. And we have to get the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But there's another meaning. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimad Bhagavatam. And Jagadananda Pandit describes in Prema Vivarta. Kali Yuga Kami Paiva Kishkara Janiya Kali Guru Rupi Kishka Aya Nakiya Hare Kishka Hare Kishka Kishka Hare 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 Ram Hare Ram Knowing that in Kali Yuga it's going to be very difficult to find a sadhu. Therefore Krishna himself took birth in Navadvipa as sadhu. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu became as a Bhakta Bhagavat. As a devotee. So another meaning of this verse, Jau Bhagavata Pada Vaishnavarastani Ekanta Shayakori Chaitanya Charani, is that to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam, you have to take shelter of the Bhakta Bhagavat, who in this age is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because there's a very intimate connection between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the embodiment of the Bhagavatam. He's the Bhakta Bhagavat quoting the Bhagavat. Now, at this point, we have another question we'd like to raise in connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the necessity of reading any literatures, including Srimad Bhagavatam? When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Benares, Prakashananda Saraswati asked him, "Won't you please explain some Shastra to us? We're Mayavadi sannyasis, we like to hear Shastra." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told him, "Sorry, you're asking the wrong person." He said, "My Gurudev told me, explain my position." Tomara Nahika Vedanta Adhikar, you have no qualification to understand Vedanta. He told me, Krishna Mantra Japa Sada A Mantra Sar. You should just chant Krishna's names. That's the essence of all Shastra. Namo Vidu Kale Kale Nahi Adhikara.
Kali Nayara Dharma. There's no other Dharma in Kali Yuga other than chanting the holy names. Sarva Mantra Sarnama Eshastra Marma. These chanting of the holy names are the essence of all Shastra. Deity Ramayane Shaiva Purane Bharate Tada Adavante Chamadecha Hari Sarvatra Giyate. The purport of all the Vedic literature is to chant the holy name. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from Gaya, he was a little different. Before, all the students in Navadvip, they all wanted to study under Nimai Pandit. Because he was the greatest scholar in Navadvip. But when he returned from Gaya, something was different. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would start explaining anything, he would explain grammar, Vedanta, anything, he would start speaking about Krishna's name. Once he became so ecstatic speaking about Krishna's name, he fell unconscious on the ground. When he regained external consciousness, he asked his students, he said, I don't remember what I've been speaking. Can you tell me what I've been telling all of you? And those students told Lord Gaura Roy. They said, for the last 10 days, all that you've been explaining is Krishna Bhakti and Krishna Nam, that this is the explanation of all Shastra. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Atta eva nama matra Vaishnavera Dharma. In this age of Kali, this is the only activity of a Vaishnava, to chant the holy name. Aname prasvatito hoy rupa guna karma. From that holy name will come. You'll see Krishna. You'll see Krishna's pastimes. Everything will come from chanting the holy name. Kali Nama Rupi Krishna Avatar. Krishna has come in the form of his holy name in Kali Yuga. There's no need to do anything else but chant Krishna's name. So then our question is, what is the necessity of reading Srimad Bhagavatam? We'll just chant, do kirtan instead of Bhagavatam class. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he told Prakashananda Saraswati, I only know one verse. What was that verse? Does anybody know? Nobody knows. Prabhuji knows. Anybody else knows? You don't know any verses? If you only know one verse, you should know this verse. What is this verse? The most important verse that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke. Prabhuji. Say loudly. Hare Nama. Hare Nama. Hare Nama Eva Kevalam. Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatir Anyata. In the age of Kali, there's no other way, no other way, no other way than the chanting of the holy names, the chanting of the holy names, the chanting of the holy names. So why read Srimad Bhagavatam? It doesn't say Bhagavat Svadhyaya, Bhagavat Svadhyaya, Bhagavat Svadhyaya Eva Kevalam. All that's necessary is to chant the holy names. In this regard, there's an important verse in the first canto, third chapter of the Bhagavatam. Idam Bhagavatam Nam Puranarko Apuranam Brahma Samhitam. Prabhupada translates it that this Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of God. In his Dig Darshani Tika, Srila Sanatan Goswami though gives another meaning for it. Prati shloki, prati action, and at the koi, every verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam has unlimited meanings. Every word of the Srimad Bhagavatam has unlimited meanings. So it's not that there's only one meaning. Prabhupada says the meaning Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of God. But Sanatana Goswami says it means Idam, this Bhagavatam, this Bhagavatam. Nama Puranam Brahma Samhitam. This Srimad Bhagavatam is the Nam Purana. The Bhagavatam, second canto, in the nutshell verses, the essential verses spoken by Lord Brahma, by Krishna to Lord Brahma, describes. Anvaya vyatireka vyam yat syat sarvatra sarvata. Directly or indirectly, the Srimad Bhagavatam is speaking about Krishna. So directly or indirectly, the Srimad Bhagavatam is only speaking about Krishna Nam. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the Nam Purana, the Purana of the Holy Name. As we said the other day, if you buy a new refrigerator, you need a manual to tell you how to do it, because now they have an MP3 recorder in it and a computer. And so we can chant the holy name, that's all that's required. But because we don't have proper faith, we need a handbook, a manual. We don't have proper faith. We need to hear some Nam Mahima, glorification of the Holy Name. And that's the description of the Bhagavatam. So, my revered spiritual master, he said that if you don't do any other sadhana,
just hear Srimad Bhagavatam. That includes chanting the holy name. Arjun Krishna Prabhu, you can't stop chanting your rounds. You have to come to Bhagavatam class and chant your rounds. Because idam Bhagavatam nama puranam, this is the nam purana, this Srimad Bhagavatam, if we listen to it, it's instructing us about how to chant the holy names. Now we've cut the weeds a little bit. I was really hoping that we could, at this some point, we could begin to speak from the Bhagavatam, not just about the Bhagavatam. Because if we want to understand something about the Srimad Bhagavatam and its connection with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there are different ways we can find that connection. And one of the connections is found directly in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam itself. I'm feeling a little nervous because the thing I'd like to speak to you about, the last time I did it, it took me 1 week of 3-hour classes every day. And we want to try to do this in about 40 minutes. So maybe we can say something. First of all, one way we can understand the importance of the Srimad Bhagavatam is from the writings of the followers of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, many of our Goswami, they've written commentaries directly on the Bhagavatam. But not only did they write commentaries in the Bhagavatam, they wrote other entire books about the Bhagavatam. Jiva Goswami wrote the Satsandarbhas, the six Sandarbhas, and those six Sandarbhas are just the Bhagavatam. He begins with Tattva Sandarbha, explaining why the Bhagavatam is the topmost literature. And then he has Paramatma Sandarbha and Krishna Sandarbha and Bhakti Sandarbha and Priti Sandarbha, all different, explaining different aspects of our philosophy. But throughout all those books, the evidence that he's giving again and again is Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, he's written the Gopal Champu, which is something of a condensed, expanded form of Srimad Bhagavatam. Rupa Goswami has written the Laghu Bhagavatam, the essential short version of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Sanatana Goswami wrote a book called the Brihad Bhagavatam, the Great Bhagavatam. All of our Goswami literatures are based on Srimad Bhagavatam. And taking a clue from Jiva Goswami's commentaries and from his book Gopal Champu, there's one particular section, one particular pastime of the Bhagavatam, which we could say he presents as the essential pastime.
что он описывает одну часть Шримад-Бхагаватам как самую существенную, самую важную.
And that pastime is Krishna's departure from Vrindavan.
И эта игра, эта часть, это описание того, как Кришна уезжает из Вриндавана.
And what happened when Krishna left? What happened after he left? The 39th chapter of the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, or the 38th chapter, we should say, begins a section some acharyas call the Akura Samvad. We're just going to touch on some little points of these things. And if you like, we gave a more elaborate discussion on this at the Govardhan retreat and a much more elaborate version of it at our Puri retreat this last year. Kamsa sent Akrura to Braj. Why did he send Akrura? Kamsa wanted to kill Krishna. As we described yesterday, Kamsa represents the mundane head of atheistic religion, so-called religion. The purpose of such mundane religionists is to kill real spiritual life. Kill real religious life, real spiritual life. They want people to just adopt some mechanical form of religion. And in religions, they give some rules. You do this thing at this time of the day, and this day of the week, you do this, and you'll be a member. Such atheistic religions are found all over the world. And the leaders of such atheistic religion, they commonly tell the followers, all you have to do is be a member of our church. Sometimes the devotees also say, just be a life member, you'll go back to Godhead. But it requires something more than just giving a certain amount of money. So Kamsa, the heads of such mundane religion, they feel frightened by Krishna, who represents real spiritual life. So he wants to kill Krishna. So he uses Akrura as his tool. Because he knows that Akrura is a genuine devotee. Sometimes the heads of such mundane religion, they try to use a genuine devotee to trick people. Kamsa approached Akrura and said, Akrura, you're my old friend. He said, just as Indra sometimes takes shelter of his younger brother Upendra, so I'm also coming to take shelter of you. Our acharyas have described that Kamsa is very puffed up. He can't tolerate submitting himself to anyone. So by comparing himself to Indra and occurred, Upendra, who's Krishna, he's saying that, yes, just as Indra is actually better than Krishna, so I'm also better than you. The very name Upendra means someone who's lower than Indra. It means his younger brother.
Upendra значит кто-то, кто ниже, чем Индра, Упари, Индра, или он младший брат.
So he told him, Akura, here's a very nice brand new chariot. I'd like you to take this and go to Braj and bring Krishna and Balaram back.
Он сказал, Акура, вот прекрасная новая колесница. Пожалуйста, зайди мне и привези Кришну и Баларама из Браджа.
Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments that, why a new chariot? Because the Lord's internal potency bewildered Kamsa. It wouldn't be appropriate for Kamsa to send one of his chariots that had already been used by him. Krishna should have a new chariot. So Akura, he arrived there in Vrindavan on that chariot. And he went to speak to Nanda Maharaj. All the residents of Vrindavan became very afraid. What kind of discussion are they having? What's being said? Nanda Maharaj spoke all night long to Akura. And Akura was telling him, Nandaraj, Vasudeva is your brother, your great friend and well-wisher. And Devaki and Vasudeva are suffering terribly. Kamsa has put them under house arrest. And every day Kamsa comes to see them and he starts shouting at them. He calls them foul names. And he demands to know, how was it that they managed to transfer their eighth child somewhere else? Kamsa was demanding from them, who were their helpers? Who helped you in your seeker mission? Tell me! Who loosened your chains? Who opened the gates? And the Kuru said that Vasudeva doesn't say anything. He just sits there. And sometimes he cries. And sometimes Kamsa raises his sword like he's going to cut them to pieces. Kamsa was shouting so loud at Vasudeva and Devaki that even people in distant places, when they hear his shouting, they begin to tremble in fear. Akura told Nanda Maharaj, all the Yadavas in Mathura become afraid of Kamsa. Kamsa is always shouting at them. He thinks they're all plotting to kill him. He put his own father, Ugrasen, in prison because he thought there was some plot from his father to kill him. All the Yadavas who've managed to leave Mathura have ran away. And every day Kamsa is threatening to send soldiers after them to kill them. Akura said,
O Nandaraj, all the wise people of Mathura are in hiding. I'm the only servant of Kamsa who stayed behind to obey his commands. And for that reason, Kamsa has taken me into his confidence. But Akura said, Nanda Maharaj, you should know, there's only one reason why I'm staying in Mathura. I want to be there when Kamsa is killed. I want to see that. Nanda Maharaj has a very soft heart. And when he heard what was happening in Mathura, Nanda Maharaj began to cry and beat his head. It was intolerable for him to think about what was happening to his dear friend Vasudev and Vasudev's wife Devaki. Akura told Nanda Maharaj, unless Kamsa is killed, Mathura will never be peaceful. He told Nanda Maharaj, you're Gopal, you're Krishna. Only he's the only one who can kill Kamsa. It was for this purpose that Krishna took his birth. So just this morning, Kamsa, he told me to come to fetch Krishna and Balaram to bring them to this yajna that he was planning. Kamsa told me that I should also invite you and all your relatives to come. O Nandaraj, if you're merciful to me now, then my life will be successful. Please come to Mathura and bring your two sons, Krishna. When Vasudeva and Devaki hear that Krishna is there, when they see him, they'll get new life. Nanda Maharaj, he had a very soft heart. He listened very attentively to what Akura was saying. But he couldn't give an answer. All night long he was silent. Finally, the next morning, Nanda Maharaj said, we should go to speak to Yashoda. They went to the outer part of their house there in Nandagaon. Nanda Maharaj told Akura, just wait here, I'll go. And Nanda Maharaj went into the inner part of the house to find Yashoda. He found Yashoda in the same place that he found her every day at that time. But this day something was different. Mother Yashoda was alone. Always when Nanda Maharaj would go at this time, Krishna would be on her lap. But Mother Yashoda was alone that morning. And Mother Yashoda was holding her head down and she was just crying. Nanda Maharaj realized that Mother Yashoda, she hid Krishna somewhere.
Yeah.
And she didn't want Akura to take Krishna away. So then Nanda Maharaj began to very sweetly, very gently speak to Mother Yashoda. And he told her all the things that Akura had said to him. Your dear friend Devaki, sometimes the Rupa Goswami says that one of Yashoda's names is Devaki, because Yashoda and Devaki are like one soul in two separate bodies. They're so very, very close. And Nanda Maharaj is telling her, your dear friend Devaki, she's being tortured. Kansa is threatening to kill her. Akura wants to take Krishna to Mathura to kill Kamsa. When Mother Yashoda heard this, she had so many objections and so many doubts. But Nanda Maharaj answered all of her objections and all of her doubts. He told her, don't worry, I'm also going to go with Krishna. And Krishna can very easily kill this Kamsa. He's killed so many demons. And just as soon as Krishna kills Kamsa, then immediately we'll return to Vrindavan. He told Mother Yashoda, he said, I give you my word of honor. Mother Yashoda was a very simple lady. She was very dedicated to her husband. It wasn't possible for her to disagree with him. So finally she agreed. And she went to one place where she was hiding Gopal, and she brought Krishna. Mother Yashoda took Krishna by the hand and came walking outside their house. Outside their house, all the gopis and the residents of Vrindavan had gathered. Because they'd heard the terrible news that Krishna may be leaving. When they saw Mother Yashoda coming out of the house with Krishna in her hand, the gopis felt like they were going to die. The gopis couldn't say anything. They just stood there and stared and began to cry. So then Mother Yashoda, she took Krishna's hand, she put Krishna's hand in the hand of Nanda Maharaj. And she said to him that, I'm giving you my life. He's more than my life. Keep him with you carefully and return him soon. When the gopis, they saw what Mother Yashoda was doing, they became so disturbed. And they chastised Mother Yashoda. Renirdaye vejasanavihine vatsam nijam vyagra kore samarpya shaktasi daharam nidam braveshtum riktam griham tena katam tvameka. Mother Yashoda, you're a fool. You have no mercy. You're going to kill all the residents of Vrindavan?
Ты, ты, ты не хочешь нас пожалеть, ты убьешь всех
You are taking your vatsa. Vatsa means a baby calf. Vatsa nijam vyagra kori samarpya, and you're putting your baby calf in the hands of a tiger named Kamsa. Kamsa. Now, how are you going to be able to enter your house again alone without your son? Your house should be set on fire. It's useless now. In Yashoda, she told the gopis, "Diddy, diddy, it's okay. I understand." I know very well that if a wise person takes care of something, there's no chance of it becoming damaged. My husband, the Gopa king, also your king, he's a very wise person. And Akrura, he's a very saintly man. He's a son of Savalka Muni and Gandini. Savalka Muni is a Siddha Mahatma. I've placed my Gopa in their hands. They'll honor my request. They'll bring my son back very soon. So many things happen. We don't have time to describe all this. But Akrura took Krishna Balam away from Vrindavan. He took them to Mathura. And there in Mathura, they killed Kamsa. And when it came time for them all to return to Mathura, the elders in Mathura, they requested Krishna and Balaram, "We're having an assembly. We'd like you to come. We want to speak with you." They arranged for that assembly to take place when Nanda Maharaj and Vasudev were not present. Vikadru, who was one of the elders of the Yadu dynasty, he told Krishna, he represented that assembly. Previously we had only one enemy, one Kamsa. And Kamsa was very bad. But because of Kamsa's strength, we never considered any other persons. But now that you've killed Kamsa, there are so many other demoniac kings. Jarasandha and millions of other kings, they're going to want to come and attack now. They said, "Moreover, you're actually our child. You don't belong to Nanda Maharaj. You're the son of Vasudeva and Devaki." So you should stay here and protect us. Krishna couldn't say anything. He became very disturbed. Krishna's thinking of Mother Yashoda. He's thinking of the gopis of Braj. He promised them, "I'll return very soon." Well, he didn't say anything. And he went to
speak with Vasudeva and Devaki. And Krishna and Balaram, they went to Vasudeva and Devaki with folded hands. They said, "We have a request." And Vasudeva and Devaki, they said, "What is it? What do you want?" Krishna said, "Please, let us return to Vrindavan." And Maharaj Ugrasena, he's very powerful. He can rule in our, when we're not here. "Please, give me permission to return to Vrindavan, which is now without light and without people." Vasudeva and Devaki were quiet. After a long time, they finally replied. They told Krishna, "After so many years, we finally got you our son." You're our life heir, and now you're going to reject us? Gandini, Akura's mother, was also there. And Gandini, she told them that, "I have a solution." She said, "If the people of Braj, they come and go from here, then Mathura will be non-different from Braj. And Krishna and Balaram can stay here." Krishna and Balaram didn't know what to say. They went to a private place to speak. Krishna told Balaram, "We asked our parents very sweetly and in a very straight way, but they won't let us go." It's very inauspicious to refuse the instructions of your parents. "I don't know what to do now." So they decided they should go speak with Nanda Maharaj. And they told Nanda Maharaj what was happening. Nanda Maharaj replied to them, "Yat vishad asurad bitihi satatra virahadvara bhavadvayam bhavatyeve chakulam sutramanmanaha." "My son, in Mathura everyone is afraid because of the demons. But in Braj, everyone is afraid of the demon of separation from you. My mind is disturbed by these two fears. Garga Muni and Narad Muni, they both advise us that we should help Vasudeva and Devaki. We should help the residents of Mathura." It was because, considering their words, I didn't refuse to allow you to go to Mathura. And Nanda Maharaj, with a choked voice, he said, "It said that Dasarath, the father of Ramachandra, he sent his son at a young age to kill the Rakshasas and protect the sages. And he said, "And another time, Dasharatha finally died of separation while his son was in the forest. And Nanda Maharaj just began crying. He embraced his son. Krishna came close to his father. And in a choked voice, he told his father, Pita, you should have no doubt, all these evil rascals will be killed. He said, the Brijbasis, they're my family. The Yadus, they're my friends. Sometimes we stay with our friends, but we always live with our relatives. Nanda Maharaj, he said, Krishna, I'll stay here with you. And Krishna said, Father, you don't act like that, you can't do that. What will happen to mother? Already she's feeling so much separation from me, and if you also don't return, she won't survive. Nanda Maharaj said, I'll bring her here to Mathura. Krishna shook his head, no. He said, if you do that, then all of Gokul will be destroyed. Gokul can't survive without Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda and Krishna. Nanda Maharaj said, then I'll bring all of Braj here. Krishna shook his head, no. He said, Father, we have so many cows now. They haven't made a computer that can count how many cows we have. They had trillions and trillions of cows in Braj. And every day a few billion more were coming. Said, Father, these cows, these are our deities. We worship these cows. If we bring all these cows to Dnepropetrovsk, are there enough parks in the city? These cows, these trillions of cows, are going to get enough grass? There's not enough parks in Mathura, Father, for all these cows to eat grass. And Krishna said, Father, if you think that everything is for me and everything is useless without me, then since the cows are my life, they have to be taken care of. He told them that Jarasandha is going to want to attack Mathura now that Kamsa is dead. And if they know about my relationship with the Brijbasis, then Jarasandha will also attack Braj. Krishna said, Father, I can build a fort to protect the Yadus. But how can I make a fort for all the cows? The cows, they can't stay inside of the fort. So, my dear father, you have to return to Braj. So many, many words are exchanged between them. Nanda Maharaj was crying.
Nanda Maharaj plakal.
And finally, he left. Balaram, seeing Nanda Maharaj going back to Vrindavan and seeing Krishna staying in Mathura, Balaram became bewildered. He took one step following Nanda Maharaj and he looked back at Krishna and he stopped and he went back to Krishna and then he saw Nanda Maharaj and he went back to Nanda Maharaj. Finally, Balaram decided he had to stay with Krishna. When Nanda Maharaj arrived back in Braj, he wouldn't talk to anyone. He was holding his head down. He couldn't bear to see anyone's face. He just went and locked himself up in a room for 3 days. And when the Brijvasis, they saw what had happened, they got to understand that Krishna wasn't coming back. The Brijvasis decided they're all going to commit suicide. Someone came and told Nanda Maharaj. Nanda Maharaj came out and he told them, no, no, don't do this. Krishna hasn't forgotten you. He said, see, Krishna sent some gifts for you. Some gifts from the big city. Some jewelry and some cloth and different things. And he gave those items to the Brijvasis. And the Brijvasis threw them on the ground. Krishna thinks that we want these damn things. He thinks that we value some gold necklace more than we value him. To hell with this. Now we're definitely going to kill ourselves, Nanda Maharaj. And Nanda Maharaj again pleaded with them. Don't do this. Krishna promised he's going to return. He sent these gifts as gifts of love. And when he returns, if he sees that all of you are wearing these gifts, then Krishna will be happy. Meanwhile, Krishna, later he left Mathura, he went to Dwarka. There in Dwarka, Krishna was sometimes in the inner chambers with Rukmini. Sometimes he was alone with Satyabhama and his different queens in Dwarka. But something was happening to Krishna. Krishna was with his queens, but suddenly he would fall to the ground unconscious in a faint. He would become delirious in ecstasy. He would start calling out,
Kabu Radha Radha Boli Kori Anutap. He would start crying, Radhe, Radhe, Radhe.
Rukmini is such a Brahman. Who is this Radhe? You're our husband. You're our husband. What do you, who is this other woman you're talking about? And then Krishna began to speak to them about the glories of Radharani. And he spoke to those wives about the wonderful glories of Radha. Rukmini and Satyabhama, they said, how can we meet her? Krishna said, it's very difficult to see Radharani. Only if Radharani desires it is it possible. He said, the land of breads is very far away. They'll never leave. And if I take you there, then the Braj may be attacked by my enemies. Krishna said, there's only one hope we have to see them. That in a few days there's going to be some Surya Grahana, an eclipse. And at that time all the people of Bharatvarsh will go to Kurukshetra. And at that place you can see Radharani. So many things took place. Krishna wrote letters to the Brijbasis. His letters are so wonderful. Someday I'd like to tell you about those letters. I'd like to tell you about how all the Brijbasis decided to go to Kurukshetra to see Krishna. And how Krishna was very tricky. Because if the gopis go there with their husbands, what will happen? So Krishna wrote a few letters to Vrindavan. One letter to Nanda Maharaj. Everyone should come. Another private letter to the gopis. And he wrote a letter to his dear cowherd boyfriends who were the wives and husbands of the gopis. The cowherd men who were, the cowherd boys, his friends, who were married to the gopis. He told them, I'd like you to also come to Kurukshetra. But one thing is that if everyone comes, what will happen to the cows? The cows, they can't go all that way. So if you love me, you please stay behind. and we'll meet later on. Krishna was very tricky. And those gopis, when they were walking to Kurukshetra, sometimes they were falling on the ground. Sometimes their eyes were closed. Sometimes they were crying. Many wonderful things are described with that meeting in Kurukshetra. But our time is limited. But what happened when Krishna met the gopis? Srila Vyasadeva describes that the gopis, they only spoke one verse to Krishna. What was that verse that they spoke? What happened there at that time? It's a very, very special pastime. Krishna, he started preaching to the gopis. You should know I am in your heart. You should meditate on me. I am the super soul in everyone's heart. I never left you. Krishna was speaking some like Gyan Yoga to the gopis. What did the gopis reply? They gave a very wonderful reply, which has many deep meanings. The gopis told him, Ahuschate nalina naba padara vindam yogeshvarai radivichinja magara bodai saṃsāra kūpa patito taranavalambam geham juṣam api manashyudhi yatsadānaha. It's very strange. The gopis began offering prayers to him. They addressed him as Narayan, Bhagavan. Ahuschate nalina nava padara vindam. Oh, my dear Lord, whose navel is like a lotus, and Lord Brahma comes from that lotus. Yogeshvarai hridivichinchamagara bodhai. Great yogis, they're always meditating on your lotus feet. Agata Bodhi, great philosophers, they're always thinking about you. Samsara kupa patito taranava lumbam. But those people who are householders in the dark well. Geham jushamami manashidi yatsadana. How can they think of you? Our dear Lord, we're such fallen householders. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his commentary in this verse, he says that the gopis are speaking what's known as parokshavad. It has many meanings. We gave one meaning. I'll give another meaning. We'll give another meaning. We gave one, now we'll give a second. Ahuschate nalina nava padara vindam. Oh, you're God. And great yogis meditate on you. Great philosophers can think of you. But saṃsāra kūpa patito taranāva lambam. people like us, we're householders. We're not yogis.
Но люди такие, как мы домохозяева, мы не йоги.
We can't think of you like that.
Мы не можем так думать.
If we start thinking of you like that, we'll die.
Если мы будем думать о тебе так, когда мы умрем.
We can't live without you.
Мы не можем жить без тебя.
It's not good advice you're giving.
Поэтому твой совет не подходит нам.
This verse has a third meaning also.
У этого стиха есть и третье значение.
The gopis are speaking in a very sulky way to Krishna.
Гопи говорят в таком саркастическом, раздраженном.
Ahushtatena lena nava padada vindam. Oh, excuse us, you're a big man. Now you become Bhagavan, you're God. I guess you don't remember your friends in Vrindavan anymore, do you? Now you become worshipped by all these yogis and philosophers. And you have no time for the residents of
Vrindavan.
There's a connection between Srimad Bhagavatam and Sri Chaitanya
Mahaprabhu.
In the Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna tells those gopis, Napareham naravadya samyajam sasadhu krityam vibudaya sapiva yamabajam durjaya geha shrinkalai samvichayatad vipratiyatu sadhana. You made me break my promise. I promise I always reciprocate with everyone. But everyone else wants something. Arjun Krishna Prabhu. Yes. You're chanting Hare Krishna, but what do you want in your heart? Krishna knows.
Krishna knows.
And we can try to act like, no, I don't want those things. But Krishna knows what we want. And Krishna will give us those things. So sadhu sabadan, be careful sadhu. Krishna says that everyone else, I know what they want. They're chanting my names, but they really want a red bicycle. So I'll give them a bicycle. I'll reciprocate with them. But you gopis don't want anything. You only want to bring me pleasure. How can I reciprocate with you? And he said to them, Pratyatu sadhana. Let your own sadhana be your glory. Krishna spoke that to the gopis 5,000 years ago. He wanted to repay his debt to them. To repay his debt, Krishna came again 500 years ago. He came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And there in Jagannath Puri, he repaid his debt to the gopis. By practicing the sadhana of the gopis. This verse, the gopis spoke to Krishna, Ahuschate nalina nava padara vindam. This verse was also spoken by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Jagannath Puri at the time of Ratha Yatra. And he was offering those prayers to Lord Jagannath. So my revered spiritual master used to say, the Krishna Leelas, Gaura Leelas, Krishna Leelas, there's no difference between the two.
Поэтому, уважаемый духовный учитель, говорил, что между Кришной Лилой и Гаура Лилой нет разницы.
Shrimad Bhagavatam wasn't finished. To conclude Shrimad Bhagavatam, Krishna had to come as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that same feelings the gopis were experiencing in Kurukshetra, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu experienced in Jagannath Puri Dham. So Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he wanted everyone to read Srimad Bhagavatam. He wanted everyone to understand the mood of the gopis. If Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had not come, who could have understood the Srimad Bhagavatam? Who could have understood the feelings of the residents of Vrindavan? So to repay his debt to the gopis, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to take your help. Sri Nitai Gora Chandra, they've come here to Netra Petros. They're Bhakta Bhagavat. They're the embodiment of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And they want you to help them to repay their debt to the gopis. You'll do that by reading Srimad Bhagavatam and serving Srimad Bhagavatam. Maya Bhagavata Krishna Nanda Bhagavatam K. Sri Sri Nithai Gora Chandra K. Sri Prabhupada K. Gopremanande. Vamcha Kopadaru Vishcha Kripasindhu Vyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namah. It's awfully late. I'm very sorry we went so long. Is there any quick question or comments from anyone? Okay, if you have something you can ask me later. We're going to give class again tomorrow morning, and then tomorrow evening we'll have a special class. It's also a class about the Bhagavatam tomorrow night. We're going to call this class tomorrow night The Fire in the Mutt.
Tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow evening. Yeah, they told me tomorrow morning is Bhagavatam.
I thought you would speak about this during the Bhagavatam.
I don't know. Should I? Okay, we'll see then.